Thank you. Yes, Lauren Stephen Cashman had a baby Friday. His name is Hunter Zion Cashman. So yay hey for Cashmans. Yay hey for babies, man. It's just awesome, awesome. It's been almost 3 months, and boy, do I have a lot to say. So get relaxed. Sorry, but you know. Before I start, January 1st was not what I was thinking this was going to look like. Yeah? Did anybody get that memo, what this was going to look like on January 1st? Well, I'm mad at you if you didn't tell me. I should have. So we have gone through things that we never thought we would. For some people, it was, for some people, it was difficult, okay, for a multitude of reasons. On the second week, I received an email from Sherry and I are graduates of Rhema Bible Training Center, and we are part of the organization, the minister's organization, and the head of that sent an email just encouraging us, trying to give us a few golden nuggets to walk through something we've never walked through, either did they. So I was like, well, what are you going to tell me? You've never done this either. And the second part, he says, do not judge. And the first day, it went over my head. But as the days went by, do not judge. So that has been, you know, that was hard for me, and not being angry about things. And I had a lot of conversations with the Lord. And, you know, he'll take you to his word, and his word will speak really loud. So I pulled my stuff together, put a happy face on, and just chose to walk in love. Though it has been difficult, and for some harder. So I just want to say a couple words, and then I'm going to get into this amazing message that I've been cooking up for 3 months, so you're in for it. But I want to talk about racism. And, you know, it was bad enough to have a pandemic and be shut down and this and that, and then people didn't have jobs and stuff. But let's throw in the mix something that has been evil from the beginning. Racism has been evil from the beginning, and its author is Satan. And Satan comes to kill, destroy, and kill, steal, and destroy, right? And he does that by dividing. And when you have division, you have discord, and the Bible says you have every evil work. You know, whenever you do that, and it's just horrible. Now, the interesting thing is, did you read your Bible? And it just read the first two chapters of Genesis, and it talks about that God made man in his image and his likeness. So we should not have racism. We should not have division. We should not be upset about someone, the way they look, their religion, or any of that stuff. And yet we saw this and we see this, and it's not gone. It's been going on. Just read history. Read other nations' history, okay? And it's wrong and it's evil. And it comes to destroy and kill and divide and every evil work. And again, what happened the last couple weeks, and the senseless death of people, of this man and more people, broke my heart. Now, I am so young to say I grew up during race riots up in North Jersey. So this was a bringing up, a hurt that, you know, I'd asked the Lord to heal my heart. So, but it brought this all up again. And I said, you know, cried, just got really quiet. When Dee Cashman's quiet, she's upset. So I get quiet and I get upset, and I kind of put boxes up and walls up, and I just hang out. But now I hang out with Jesus. Before, I just hung out with myself. And when you're mad and upset by yourself, that's not good. So I hung out with Jesus and I said, Lord, what do we do? And I heard this, and I wrote it down on this little scribble pad that sat next to Bible. And he said to me, what is the spiritual solution to what's happening? What is the spiritual solution to the problem? What is the spiritual solution to the problem? Well, guys, we have a God who's the God of light. That's his kingdom. And then we have Satan, the father of darkness. Okay? And so what is the spiritual solution to what's going on? And he said, Dee, you start in prayer. And I want to tell you, I was on my face and I cried, and I looked, just cried and just was praying. And there were times I couldn't even pray. I would just pray in the spirit, just pray in the spirit. And so again, racism, violence, injustice is evil, and the author is Satan. And we have a part as believers, and really all mankind should have a part, but we have a part to be unified, to pray, and to ask God, what is my part? okay, and to love. And your love and how you treat and you interact with people makes all the difference. So at the beginning of all of this, I had this piece of paper by my desk. And anytime I spoke with any of you and you had something good to say, I wrote it down. And some days I just heard hard things and my heart was hurt. I would read this. Okay, Dina and Diana, whose jobs looked like they were going to end, by 2 days later, they had another job. Amen. I had a couple, and I'm not going to say names, their wedding had to be canceled. And I heard through their aunt, I said, tell them to be here with their license and I will marry them. I did a wedding. That was something good. All right? And you gave me flowers that day, the day before, and I gave them to the bride that day. There are good things going on, and you know, sometimes you think, Pastor D, there's so much ugly, and that's so big. I just start reading these things. 2 weeks before shutdown, Chad, turn around, right, wave at Chad, walked in to YCF for 2 Sundays before this whole shabam hit, and on the second Sunday, he came up to me and, you know, church was going to be closed. And he says, Pastor D, you know what I used to do with the other church? And he says, I was a TV guy. I did all of this. Do you want me to do this for you? And I said, no, yes. No, but yes. Okay. So thank you, Chad and Lane, for coming in every week and recording. And those are good things that have gone on in my life. And my favorite word was cut. All right, let's tape it apart again. Okay, so, but let me see what else. What do I have here? Though we are alive, today we are going. Just lots. Okay. All right. Okay. Done. Praise God. I could talk a whole sermon on that, but I'm not because I really got a lot to say. You have your Bibles with you? You have your cell phone Bibles with you? Do you have a piece of paper with you? You're going to write this down, okay? Open up to Acts chapter 17. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word, your love never changes. Your word, your love is so powerful that it will transform us. Today, Father, we ask you to transform us. Bring light to areas that we're just dizzy on. Bring light and encouragement and direction. And we say, thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. All right. How many of you love the word of God? I do. Listen, because where would you be? Not here if you didn't. You wouldn't be sitting here, I'm telling you, if you didn't love the word of God. Acts chapter 17, let me give you the background. This is the Apostle Paul that's writing, and he would go to city to city to city, and he would have this message, okay? And he would go into these cities, and he'd go into the synagogues. That's their meeting place, okay? He would go into their synagogues, and turn over to Acts chapter 17, verse 2 and 3. Then Paul, as his custom, that means he just didn't go Christmas and Easter. Okay, and Paul, as his custom, went into them, into the synagogues, for 3 Sabbaths, reasoning with them from the scriptures and explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, Jesus, the Jesus who I preach, is the Christ. Guys, wherever Paul went, he said that. And it's a really pretty simple message. Jesus is the Christ. Everybody say, Jesus is the Christ. That is the simple message that he just was out there doing it. Now, let me back you up a little bit. How many of you remember this conversation Jesus had with his disciples? He's hanging out with his guys and he says, hey boys, who do people say that I am? Okay, now he did not have Google to get his answer. Right? So he says, who do people say that I am? What are they saying about me? And they said, well, some say you're this, and some say you're that. Some say you're a teacher. Some say you're a whatever. And then here's the big, big, big important question. He says, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And you know, Peter, we love Peter. Big splats on the floor and then a few successes and then he's splat on the floor. But this time he got it right. And Jesus says, who do you say I am? And Peter's like, ooh, 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 ooh. All right, Peter, What's the answer? Okay, can you see this? Can you see this? And what does Peter say? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you know what Jesus says to Peter? Whoa, you're blessed. You're blessed. Okay, you want to know a definition of blessed? Ready? Write this down. Ready? Not cursed. Real simple. Okay? If you're blessed, you're not cursed. How many of you don't want to be cursed? Good. Okay, we want to be the blessed, all right? We want to be the blessed. So how many of you would agree with Peter and raise your hand and say, yeah, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Yeah, okay. Now, if you know that much, man, you are ahead of the game. If you know just that much, because you know what the tendency is for people? I see it, been there, done it, and I see that. The tendency is we get depressed and anxiety and worry for all the things we don't know. Like, we don't know, the last 3 months, okay? And we can't figure out how to get out of the mess that we got ourselves into. We can't figure out how to fix things. We just can't figure out things. And we get ourselves topsy-turvy, just depressed and anxious and anxiety and splat, okay? But it's so interesting. The things that you don't know is all of this and this, and it just blows up your world. But the thing we should know and that we're going to talk about is this message. This message, what is it? Jesus is the Christ. And if you know that much, guys, you will make it through every storm. You will make it through every storm. So Jesus says, Peter, tell us. And Peter goes, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus says, Peter, you are blessed because flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you. In other words, your mama didn't tell you this. Your neighbor didn't tell you this. Nobody told you this, but it was revealed to you by the revealer, my Father. How did he get this? It wasn't in a dream because he ate pizza the night before. God revealed it to him. And he says, you're blessed. You're blessed. Okay. Now, let me move on from this. Jesus talked a lot about traditions. How many of you have heard him talk about traditions? And he usually didn't talk too nice about them because Jesus did not like traditions and he did not like religion at all. Okay. Matter of fact, he would tell the religious people, hey, you guys have taken the power out of my word and you have made it powerless. You have made it nothing. And he was really ticked. I can say it with a smile on my face. But when Jesus said that, he was upset with them for taking the power and the anointing out of his word and making it zero. So that's tradition. Now, let me say this, and everybody smile at me. You are either living by tradition or you're living by revelation. What is the revelation that we should know? Jesus. Oh, some of you don't know it. Jesus is the Christ. Okay? Praise God. Praise God. So that's why Jesus said to Peter, you are Peter, and upon this rock. What rock? The revelation, right? That of who Jesus is. And who is Jesus to you? Well, he is the Christ. Yes, he is the Christ, okay? And guys, he says, I will build my church. Jesus said, I will build my church on that revelation, not tradition. He will build his church on that revelation. And guys, Jesus is building his church. Tell somebody, Jesus is building the church. And guess what? He's building you, and praise God, he's building me. We are the church. He's still building us, all right? Now, but you got to know the foundation. You got to know the foundation. And the foundation is what? Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the foundation. Okay. But Pastor D, I need revelation for healing. Nobody. Without this revelation, you can't have any revelation for healing. But Pastor D, I need revelation. No, Pastor D, I need faith for revelation on healing. Apart from this foundation that Jesus is the Christ, you can't get it. You won't get it. You don't get it. And I'll talk more about it. So listen, you can't separate. Amen. All right. Now, What happens if faith, and I've seen this, I've done this, guilty, 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 but I'm work, you know, right? What happens if faith starts becoming a process? Faith starts becoming a process, like apply steps 1, 2, and 3. Bingo! You know what I'm talking about? How about 6 steps to victory? Woohoo! 12 steps to have a better marriage? Woohoo! All right? And we do that. Not us, it's some other church. I know. Okay? But the moment you do that, you separate the principle from the person. You separate the principles. And listen, they are Bible principles. But when you take Jesus out of the equation, you have a powerless pile of you know what. Okay? There's no power. Okay. Now, that was just my introduction. You ready? Seatbelts on? Here we go. Ready? Okay. You're at Acts chapter 13, 17, Acts 17, verse 3 now. So we got Paul, and he's going into the synagogues. As is custom, every week, all right? And he says, verse 3, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, saying, Jesus is the Christ, whom I preach is you as Jesus Christ. Okay, now, he would say all the time, Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Christ, wherever he went. That was the revelation, that was the message, that is the foundation. Jesus is the Christ, okay? And because of that simple message, which I just said, there was an anointing on those words. How many of you like the anointing? How many of you don't know what it is? That's okay. Hang in there, all right? So verse 4, and some of them, okay, because he's saying Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Christ. There's an anointing on that. And verse 4, and some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. Okay, some of them were persuaded. Some of them were persuaded. Some of them were persuaded. Everybody say, persuaded. Persuaded, okay? Now, just write this down. I'm going to go to the next chapter, Acts chapter 18, verse 4. It says this, and he, Paul, reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jew and Greeks. The next chapter, write this down, Acts chapter 19, verse 8. And he, Paul, went into the synagogues and spoke boldly for 3 months. Okay, the other place, it was 3 weeks. This bunch took a little bit longer, but he stuck with it, okay? So he went in and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things, the kingdom of God, or we could say Jesus is the Christ, all right? So just hang with me. You could say that Paul was in the business of persuasion. Okay, so for all you religious people, no, for all you that, okay, we could say it this nicer, ready? The assignment of God on his life and the anointing on his life was present to persuade people, right? Persuade them to what? Jesus is the Christ, all right? So here's this guy, Paul, and he would go into his culture, the Jewish culture that he was familiar with, and he would give them scriptures and do step by step by step and persuading them and on this foundation. The foundation is Jesus is the Christ, all right? And the anointing that was on those words would persuade people, okay? So what does it mean to persuade people, okay? It means to adopt someone else's point of view. It means to adopt someone else's way of thinking, all right? So I used to think one way, but now I am persuaded to think another way. Greasy hamburgers are not good for me. I am now persuaded to think another way, okay? That's on the funny side of this, okay? So here we have Paul that would go into these synagogues, okay, and he would talk to them about their thought, their one way they thought about God. And now this is the crazy part. It was just not talking to you about your thought of the way of God that you had, but it was about your parents' thoughts and ways of God. It was how your grandparents thought about God. It was actually generations of generations, you know, the Jewish people for generations, as hundreds of years, had this one thought about who was God and how was God, all right? So he had to go against that bunch. Okay, it's not just, oh, I read this yesterday, so I am persuaded. No, this is generations of people, okay, that have this in there. You could actually say they were ingrained in what? The law. They were ingrained for generations and generations for the law. And we're going to talk more about the law in a few minutes, okay? So Paul, by the Spirit of God and the anointing of God, would have these words, and they would persuade people to adopt this new thought. And what was the thought? Jesus is the Christ. Now for you and I, if you've been not raised a little Jewish girl, a little Jewish boy, you're like, but listen, they have had this thought that all of that for generations. So this was like, poosh, all right, Jesus is the Christ. Okay, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. If you don't want to turn to there, just listen to my beautiful voice. Ready? And my speech, this is Paul, and my speech, you know, my words and my preaching, my words were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but of demonstration of the Spirit and of power, okay? So think about that. Think about that, okay? The demonstration of God's word, whoo, and the Spirit will have an anointing and it'll persuade you, won't it? It does. It'll, when it's anointed, when it's mixed with Jesus, it is, okay? Here's another one. You can just write this down. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy 1. It goes like this. 2 Timothy 1, 12. For this reason, this is Paul, he's writing to Timothy. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. Okay, so praise God. He was persuaded. Now, turn over to Romans chapter 4. We're going to camp out there for a good hunk of time. Romans chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What then shall we say about Abraham, our father, has founded according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham what? Believed. Abraham believed, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but a debt. Okay, so in other words, here we have Abraham, and he now has this righteousness. This righteousness was a gift from God. God gave him righteousness, and he's saying, hey, if God gave you this gift of righteousness, and it was based on your actions and what you do, well then, God owed it to you. But the rest of this says, no, no, your righteousness is not because you did anything, could do anything. Guess what? So God doesn't owe Moses anything, and God doesn't owe you anything. You are justified just by faith. Okay, let me getting ahead of my house. So if Abraham was justified by his works, he'd have to boast. And God says, nope, 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 nope. Not before God. So get this picture. I could brag all day. Oh, I did this. I did that. You know, I'm living by the law. I did this. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Okay? And if you're like that, he's saying you have nothing to brag about when it comes to being righteous. Okay? He's saying no way. Okay? Because none of us are righteous by our works. How many of you know that? Okay, so here. The only way you can be justified is just to receive the free gift, the free gift. Okay, verse 5, 6, and 7. Here we go. But to him who does not, work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted to for righteousness. Verse 6, just as David described the blessedness of the man whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Verse 7, blessed. Okay, what's the definition of blessed? Not cursed. Okay, just check and see if you remember. Not cursed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed, not cursed, is the man in whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Praise God. Guys, he's talking about me. He's talking about you right there. Look at that. Hey, that's what it is. This verse back what David wrote was all about you, all about me. Isn't that fantastic? Sure, look it, baby. I'll tell you what. Okay, he's talking about that your sins were not going to be imputed on you, that he is going to give you a gift of righteousness. This was all about us and where we live. Now, the thing about this, David wrote about that. He's an Old Testament guy, right? David wrote about that, and he's an Old Testament guy, and he was talking about us, and more importantly, he was talking about Jesus. He could see us walking in this. He could see what Jesus was going to do. It's just amazing. All right. So he could see that. And how many of you know the psalm? It says, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Okay. I can't remember where it is, but it's in the psalm. Okay. Nobody called it out. Don't you dare sing it back there. Okay. Now, listen, I can say tomorrow, I'll get up tomorrow, and I do a lot. I could say, this is the day the Lord has made, because that's Monday and I don't want to go to work. So this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Okay, that's good. You can apply it. But guys, it had nothing to do with that. It was David who could see us and walking in that. And he said, that day is a glorious day and I will rejoice. Okay, the day you live in is rejoiceable. It is, we can rejoice, okay? We are living in that day. Jump down to verse 13. Verse 13. Whoops, turn my page. Somebody asked me, Pastor D, why don't you get a Bible? And because it would take me long, and I used to put stickers in here. And then my one Bible, the font was like 8. So I print them out and blow them up. Okay, just thought I'd tell you, so you don't have to ask, okay? Where did I say to go? Verse 13. Okay, verse 13. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Okay, through the righteousness of faith. I love that. I love that. Now, time out. Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why is Paul writing about in the New Testament about this guy, Abraham, who was in the Old Testament? Is it just me that wakes up someday going, why'd you do that? None of you? Well, I did, okay? And I asked my next thing. Why was the Spirit of God on Abraham's life that Abraham that would preach and tell us about faith through Jesus? Like, why? Well, this verse will tell you why, okay? This verse, all right? Gives you the answer. I'm going to read it one more time. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Through the righteousness of faith. Now, again, remember, this wasn't talking about just one person. This is talking about generations and generations of people who had this law. You know, they just lived by the law. You had to follow the law. And there were like 600 laws. And gosh, I can't even remember the one law on that speed limit when I come down East Berlin Road half the time. I'm praying about it, okay? But they had tons of laws, okay? And that was just funny, but it was just tough. And the thing about the law is the law separated man from God. The law separated us from man from God, okay? Now, if I kept the law, I was blessed. If I kept the law, okay? But if I broke one of the laws, then I broke all the laws, and then I was cursed, okay? But thank God we can have animal sacrifices, and that'll cover me for one day. That was tough, baby, right? That was tough. Can you imagine? All right. So it was just so tough. All right. Now, so this is the law here. and it separated us from God and man. The law separated us, okay? And here is Paul trying to persuade them, trying to get them to adapt to a new way of thinking. And what is the thinking? Jesus is the Christ. And that is why wherever he went, he would say the same thing, and there would be an anointing on the word to persuade people to know Jesus is the Christ, okay? So here's Paul in this verse, and he's actually saying, hey, I got to take you guys back to a time where the law didn't separate you from God. I got to take you back to a time where the law was not separating God and Abraham. I'm going to take you back to a time when God and Abraham were not separated, and the only thing that put the glue there was faith. Abraham had faith to believe God, and therefore it was counted to him as righteousness. Faith counted to him as righteousness. Praise God. All righty. And it's so funny, you think back on that. All Abraham did was say, God told him to do this, and I gave him promise, and he just said, okay, God. And he picked up his tent, and he went a-going, all right? And all of that was faith in God. Just real simple, okay? So what is the message? What is our foundation? Jesus is the Christ. What do we have faith in? Jesus is the Christ, all right? Praise God. Let's do verse 14. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. Verse 15. Because the law brings about wrath. Whew, I don't like that. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be accounted according to grace. Faith and grace. We're going to talk a lot about that. So the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who he believes. God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Verse 18, who contrary to hope, contrary to hope, believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so that your descendants would be. Okay, verse 19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. See that word waver? See that word waver? You know what that means? To go forward, to go back, to go forward, to go back. It also means to pause with uncertainty. All right. It also means to wonder. So it says Abraham did not waver at the promise through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Praise God. So this is where I wanted to get. I had to read all that to get to verse 21. Okay, go. Shh, take a deep breath. I think I need a drink. Okay, verse 21. Here we go. And being fully convinced, the correct translation is persuaded. Write that down. And Abraham being fully persuaded that he who had promised, he also able to perform. Okay, so here we have fully persuaded. Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to do. So let's talk about being fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Okay, everybody say fully persuaded. All right, so we've established that Paul would speak all the time this message, right? And we've established that there would be an anointing on this message all the time, right? Okay. But here's the thing. This is the message that Paul would preach, and we said there was an anointing on this. Here's the thing. Not all were persuaded. Not all were persuaded. Some were and some weren't. Open up to Acts 26. All right. Here's Paul, and he's been thrown in jail because he believes in Jesus, and he's telling everybody Jesus is the Christ. He's thrown in jail, and then he's brought upstairs to King Agrippa. All right. Anybody know this story? He's brought upstairs to King Agrippa, and he's going to preach before him. Can you just see that? And he's going to preach, and he's going, oh, you know, I wonder what I have in my sermon notebook. Wonder what I should preach to this guy. Should I preach about tithing? Should I preach about 10 steps to deliverance? No! What did Paul always preach? Jesus is the Christ. He didn't change his message because he was standing before the king. This is Paul, okay? So he goes up and he preaches Jesus is the Christ. But you got to get this. He's upstairs before in the throne room with the king. And he's probably got chains on and he's probably smelly and dirty and muddy and all that stuff, okay? And he preaches and there's an anointing on the word. What is the word? Jesus is the Christ. Okay, he's preaching. There's anointing and it says, okay, it says, King Agrippa says this to him after he's preached and there's anointing on the word, right? He says, you almost persuaded me, Paul. By golly, come on. You almost persuaded me to be a Christian. All right, so let's talk about almost persuaded. I think we got to look at it, right? Almost, okay? Almost persuaded. Let me think. Okay, so I have this, give me an example. This cute little couple over here, they're dating. You can't be in the middle of that because they're only dating here, but it's okay. Okay, they're dating, all right? And I go up to them, and they're kissing and hugging, and dating. I said, hey, are you guys married? And they say, oh, no, we're gonna get married, all right? All right, now, so here's the thing. Gonna get married means you're what? Not married. I am smarter than fifth grader, okay? All right, so okay. Now, how many of you would agree, almost married is not married? All right, let's say it again. Until you're married, you're what? Not married, okay? Gonna get married is not married, all right? Here's another one. I love this one, okay. How many of you heard of Brother Copeland? Been a part of his ministry for I don't know how many years, but he's been flying airplanes for more than 50 years, and the guy's 80 something, and he has clocked thousands of miles, air miles, clocked thousands of them. He's flown all kinds of airplanes, all right. And so, by the way, that makes him a pilot. I forgot to say that. Most important, he is a pilot. Now, Brother Copeland has a friend. His name is Jesse Duplantis. Anybody hear him? If you need a good belly laugh, you just go watch Jesse, okay? Just so funny. And Jesse is not a pilot. He has a ministry and he travels around. He actually has a pilot that flies him around. Guess where Jesse sits? In the back, okay? So I heard the story, and I'll make it short. So one day, Jesse and Brother Copeland are hanging around, and Jesse goes, Brother Copeland, guess what? My pilot's been letting me come up into the cockpit and I to fly the airplane, and I can almost land. You have to, I just see Brother Copeland go looking at him, and he's got some looks, Brother Copeland, and he goes, Jesse, that's crashing. How many of you want to get on a plane where the pilot is almost land, can almost land it? No, you're smarter than fifth grader. Come on, no way, okay? You know, I've been working on it. I'm getting pretty good at it, okay? Why don't you want to fly with that pilot? Because you're going to crash. Okay, now, we've been talking about Paul's message. Jesus is the Christ, and he would lay a foundation and go over it and over it and persuade people. So let me talk about persuade, okay? Ready? To be persuasive means you first must have been persuaded. To be fully persuasive, you ever run into those persuasive people, okay? I bought some dumb things because of that, okay? But to be fully persuasive, it means you have to first be what? Persuaded. Persuade. You have to be fully persuaded, okay? Abraham was what? Back to that scripture. Fully persuaded. Everybody say fully persuaded. All right. Okay. And this was the revelation, right? Who Jesus is. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay. And this is the foundation that you and I have to be establishing like cement. You have to do this in order to be fully persuaded. Everybody say, praise God, Pastor. You're good preaching. Okay. Back to Romans chapter 4, verse 21. Okay. This is what it means, this verse, to be fully persuaded. Fully persuaded, okay? Fully, oh, where am I? Verse 21, wrong one. Sorry. Give me a second. Is that when I yell, cut? No. Okay. Verse 21, let's put it this way. And Abraham being fully persuaded that what he, God, promised, he, God, was able to perform, okay? Abraham was fully persuaded, fully convinced in what? That what God promised, he was able to perform. All right, so how many of you have run into people that are persuaded about this and persuaded about that and persuaded about that? And I run into Christians, okay? Don't put your hand up right now. That are persuaded, okay? They are persuaded that God is able. I'll ask them, can Jesus save? Yes, he can, of course, okay? Can God heal? Yes, of course. I believe that. He's able, right? Can God deliver? Yes, he can do that. He's able. He's God, okay? And then I add this one ingredient into the pot, and I go, do you believe God will? Do you believe? So you tell me God is able, but then I say, do you believe God will? Where are you going with that, Pastor D? I don't like this. It's getting a little nervy here. Okay, ready? I don't know. It's all up to God. You know, the sovereignty to God. You know, I know he can, but I don't know if he's will. All right? You know what that is? You are persuaded that he's able, but you are not persuaded that he will. All right? Which means you are way forward, back. Okay, you're wavering, right? Okay. Verse 21, he was fully persuaded that what God had promised. Abraham was fully persuaded what God promised. What did God promise him? What did he promise him? Okay, better yet, what's a promise? Okay, that's just the real natural side. What's a promise? Okay, I promise that I will give you my car after church. Just to borrow, okay? Okay? I have given you something I have promised, okay? What have I given you? I have given you my word. Okay? All right? And my promise is my word, right? You get it? My promise is my word. My promise is my word. And my promise reveals me. My promise reveals my will. Okay? Y'all looking at me, I'm like scary up here. Okay, all right. God's word is his will. Yay! God's word is his will. Oh, Pastor D, I just don't know God's will. You haven't read your Bible. Come on. I just don't know. I mean, I'm not talking about, should I wear this dress or should I wear the pink one? I'm not talking that. I mean, God's will in your life. God's will to heal. God's will to deliver. God's will, you know that, okay? You don't know Jesus, okay? Who is Jesus? Jesus is the invisible, I forgot the middle word there, of the visible God. No, it's the other way around. Jesus is the visible image. I knew that. Jesus is the, woo, put big words in my mouth today, man. All right. Jesus is the visible image of an invisible God. And if you want to know God, go read Jesus. You want to know Jesus, go read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Tell me if you've ever read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John where Jesus made someone sick. No. Or throw that Bible out. No, when you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, Jesus healed, all right? You'll know him, you healed. How about the story of the leopard? This leopard comes up to Jesus one day, and he says, hey, if you're willing, you can make me whole. And you know what Jesus says? Two of the most powerful words. Two powerful words that'll change your life and send you into glory. What did he say? I will. Okay, and at that moment, for all eternity, you know God's will to heal. Right? Amen. Pastor D, it's okay. All right, let me give you another one. What was my other one? Okay. Praise the Lord. Did I skip a page? Here we go. All right, how about this one? So, you must be fully persuaded to the promise of God that God will. You have to be fully persuaded, all right? Okay, how about this one? It's found in the Gospel of Mark, and it's also found in the Gospel of Luke, okay? This guy comes up to Jesus' disciples, and they go, heal my son. His son had seizures and convulsions, and sometimes he almost died. And he comes up to have the disciples pray for him, right? And they didn't do it. So Jesus comes around the corner, and the father says, Jesus, if you can do anything, please have compassion. If you can do anything, please have compassion. And you know what Jesus says? If I can... Say that, come on. If I can, no, Jesus is like, no. If you can believe, fully persuaded. If you can, okay? It's not a matter if Jesus can. Read your Gospels. Know who he is. It's a matter if, yeah, if I can believe, all right? If I can believe. And that's what made Abraham righteous, because he believed God's promises. Woo! I love Abraham. I love Abraham. Now, here's the problem. We have us. We have mankind. We have us in it. And sometimes it just does not gel in our head. What? Just believe. Just believe. And sometimes we're like, oh my gosh, I need to work at it. I need to do steps 1, 2, and 3. I have to put a process to it. I need to earn it. Don't give me no free handouts. I got to earn everything. If you don't like free handouts, go get yourself another God. You know why? Because God freely gives. Freely gives everything. The salvation you have, everything. So go find somebody else, all right? Okay, so what do we do? So here we have nature of man. Everybody else, not us, right? And sometimes we go, if I do this and if I do that, if I say these words so many times, I'll be healed. Be careful, very dangerous, because you have now taken Jesus out. Okay? The principles, baby, they're good. Those are principles. But when you take Jesus out of the principles, you have a powerless gospel. And I see people so dang frustrated because they don't understand why. And they have made the steps. I got to do this step and I got to do this step. Okay? Jesus. Just come back to Jesus is the Christ. Praise God. Okay. Guys, I don't know. I used to love down in children's ministry. Kids would ask me questions. I'm like, I don't know. I'll go home and look it up. Okay. I don't know everything, but I do know Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And because of that, I'm blessed. And because of that, he's building his church. Amen. Woo! Praise the Lord. Okay. How many of you remember the story? And there's two of them like this, and they're all out through Gospels. Jesus is preaching to this huge multitude of crowds, thousands and thousands, and they get hungry, right? They get hungry. Some of you are hungry right now. Well, they get hungry, and they found a few loaves and a few breads, and loaves of bread, deep, a few fishes. And Jesus thanks God for it, and he breaks it, and he gives it to the disciples, and they go passing it all out, okay? So here's the thing. Did anybody pay for their happy meal? Thousands upon thousands got their free happy meal. Right? They got full too, all right? So that happened. Then Jesus left, okay? It's the next day. He left the next day. And these people are like, whoa, we got to get another free meal. Come on. How many of you go to BJ's? Just a little cart there, right? Yeah. Sometimes, you know, you can look at these people. Okay. Anyway, so they want to get another free meal. So they run after Jesus and they go, hey, Jesus, Jesus, could you show us a sign that we may believe? Are you so got a hole in your brain you forgot yesterday? You forgot yesterday he fed you. And this today you go, show us a sign that we can believe. Okay. Really? What they said to him before was, we want to know how to do the works of God. We want to know how to do the works of God. That's really what they said first, okay? And so it's can you just hear us all going, Jesus, you know, show me how to do that. Show me how to do that. That bread just keeps growing. Show me, teach me that way so I can do it, so I can believe. Teach me, by the way, then I'd never have to go to the store and buy bread. By the way, do you do that with beef? That'd be awesome. Okay. Just think about them. All right. And you know what Jesus says? Your work, your only work is to believe. Everybody say believe. And what do we believe? Jesus is the Christ. Okay. That's the only work you were supposed to do. We're supposed to do. Just believe Jesus is the Christ. Okay. And believe that he who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. By the way, this book, it's got his promises and he is faithful. Okay? So, then they go chasing after him. And they go, you know, Jesus, show us the work so that we may believe. And Jesus is like, and then they slap one more. Yeah, you get somebody to slap this and slap this. And then they say, our father Moses gave us bread in the desert. You know, what are they doing? They just want more free stuff, right? They did. They just want more free stuff. Okay. So what are they? They go, Moses gave us bread. Moses gave us this free stuff. We like that free stuff. Why don't you teach us how to do those works so we can have that free stuff? Why don't you show us how to do that so then we can believe if you do it to us? Okay. Gosh, don't like those people. Okay. And Jesus goes, Moses did not give you that bread. My father did. And this is like the big but. And I am the bread. And you just need to believe. All right. Jesus was kicking butt, right? I'm telling you what. Okay. And he's just saying, hey, I'm the bread. Feed on me. Just believe. Just go. Just feed on me. I'm Jesus the Christ. Okay. And then, you know, sometimes what happens, our brain starts going, just tell me, Jesus, I know I heard you, but just tell me the three steps and what I need to confess and then I'll be healed. And he's going, shut up. Just believe. I know you're not supposed to say that. I'm sorry. Be quiet. Just believe. Just believe, okay? Believe what? That the life that you have would come out because you believe, all right? Just believe, all right? Turn over to James chapter. I'm doing good. I thought this would be good. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I need a drink. James chapter 1. We're going to read verse 2. We're at James chapter 1 because guess what? We have to figure out who we are. Are you almost persuaded? Or are you fully persuaded? Everybody say, I am the fully persuaded that Jesus is the Christ, okay? James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, he's talking to us, Christians, believers, followers. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Okay, now. Knowing. So I'm going to say it a little bit differently. So listen to this. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Instead of saying knowing, how about we say being fully persuaded? So I'm going to count it all joy because I am fully persuaded. What does it say? That the testing of your faith produces patience. Okay. Now, did you read that? Does your Bible say count it all joy when you fall into junk? Okay, I know I tried tearing that page out of my Bible for decades, all right? But it kept jumping back in, and it says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Okay, various, if you look it up in the Greek, and then you do the concordance over here, it means variegated, but better yet, random. Random trials. Anybody ever have random trials that hit you this way and you turn around and that hits you that way and you turn around and you're like, what? Okay. Sort of like, you know, it's like all hell broke loose. What the heck happened? You got up, Monday was good. Sunday was great. Monday's good. Tuesday you get up and you can't find your keys. Oh my gosh, where are my keys? I finally found my keys. Then I load my four kids into the car, put those blessed seatbelts on, and the car won't start. And then Johnny throws up in the car. I am late for work and I'm fired. Okay? That's random stuff. Okay? Anybody ever have random stuff? You're like, what? Okay, random stuff. Okay? Now, but you got to understand, okay, that's random stuff. And he says, count it all joy. Paul is writing to people, excuse me, this is James. James is writing to people that have been persecuted for their faith in Jesus. Jesus is the Christ, okay? They're being persecuted. What does that look like? Oh, you work over at blah, blah, blah. You a believer? You're fired. Guess what? You don't have a job. You don't have any food. You don't have any money. That's not a nice place to be, right? Okay, they're being persecuted, and that's going on because you believe Jesus is the Christ. They're also, because you believe Jesus is Christ, they're throwing you in jail. Now, your county jail is kind of sweet compared to theirs. Okay, all right. I actually was in the old one. Oh, heebie-jeebies. It was bad. Okay. Okay, off track, stay fast. So they're in jail, and if you went to jail, 99.9%, they were going to kill you. Okay, so you got these people that just about every day after day, they're encountering life and death. Okay, that's a bad day. And you have a bad day. Okay, but that's a bad day. Okay, and so those are bad days. You have bad days. And what is Paul? I keep saying Paul. What does he say? Count it all joy. That's where I used to tear this page out of the Bible. Like what? Count it all joy. Okay, now, the moment... And the moments that you start meditating on, where is this stuff coming from? Why is it happening to me? He did it and now I'm in the mess. You know how we like to blame people, right? You know, okay. And the moment you start staying in that and circling, you sure are not going to figure out how to get out of this. You're not. So what does he tell you? You need to count it all joy instead of, okay, you need to count it all joy. Okay, so where do you find joy? I used to ask that all the time. I dropped it somewhere. Dear Jesus, where is it? I'm serious. I have these silly conversations, okay? Where do you find it? Well, you have to go back to what you know. Everybody, what do you know?
Jesus Christ.
Amen. Okay, verse 2 and 3. I'm going to read one more time. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing or being persuaded that the testing of your faith produces patience. Patience, okay? Patience. Ooh. So if I count it all joy, I'm going to end up with this patience. Woo! Okay, that was my problem. I wasn't in joy, so I certainly didn't have patience, all right? Now, so what happens when you go, God, what happened? I don't even know how I got here. How did this happen? Anybody have those days? Like, what is going on, okay? But then I say, but I know one thing. I got patience, and you are going to get me out of it because I got patience, all right? Verse 4. But let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing, okay? I will let patience have its perfect work, and then I'll be what? Lacking nothing. Whoo, okay, lacking nothing, all right? So someday you wake up and you go, oh my gosh, how did I get this mess? And somebody says, man, how did you get in this mess? I don't know. I really don't have a clue. And they look at you because you have a smile. What are you smiling about? I don't know, but it's going to be okay. You know, I have no clue. And then you, and then they say, well, how do you know? Because I have patience, and I know that I am going to be complete. I'm going to be lacking nothing. Better yet, I win. But I have to have joy. And when I have that joy, I have the patience, and then I have all of this, okay? All right, amen. Verse 4 and 5. Let's do this one. 4 and 5 again. Yep. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks what? Okay, so what do you need? I need wisdom, okay? I need wisdom, okay? So if you don't know how you got in the mess, that somebody else did to you, right? Because you know I didn't make this mess. But if I don't know how to get in the mess or get out of the mess, I'm going to need wisdom, all right? So I need wisdom. Praise God. All right, wisdom, where am I? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Praise God. Now, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So what do you do when you get in these situations? You've got trials, random things, anything, tough times. What do you do? I'm going to ask for wisdom, all right? I'm going to ask for wisdom, all right? And then what are you going to do about it? Verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask of God and he will give to all right? I love that verse. I love that verse. He will give to all. He's going to give to you. He's going to give to you. Are you in all? He's going to give to all right? And you know why I love that verse? It just kicks stinking thinking out. It kicks traditional religion thinking out that says, well, God withholds to people because you never know what God's going to do. You know, he might be mad at you because, you know, I know what you did, all right? That verse just tears that, lights it up, and throws it out, right? Because he says he'll give to all. He'll give to all. I love that. He'll give to all. Praise God, praise God, praise God. He'll give to all. Where am I? I'm lost. He'll give to all liberally without reproach. Okay, and this is the next part. Shoo. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Okay, what's he talking about? When you doubt, you're like the wave. Oh, didn't I do that before? The wave, forward and back. When you have doubts, you're like, you're wavering. Then you are not fully persuaded. And then you'll receive nothing from God. Okay. Praise God, praise God. Let's jump over to verse 5 again. Let's just read 5 again. If any of you lack, let him ask of wisdom. Let him ask for wisdom. Let him ask of God who gives to all liberty without reproach. And it will be given to him. Again, I love this verse because it just says God's going to give. God's going to give. God's going to give me, okay? And I love this verse and this chapter if it wasn't for verse 6 and 7. I like 5, but 6 and 7, okay? But 5 says, I have this God who loves to lavishly give me things. And he doesn't care if I keep asking. He's not mad at me if I ask him today, tomorrow, and the next day, all right? But listen to verse 6, all right? It says, let him ask in faith, not doubting. That's like the sea. Other translation said without wavering. Okay, so here's the question. Are you wavering? That means you're almost persuaded. Or are you fully persuaded? What? Are you fully persuaded? Okay. So let no man, let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Okay. Let not that man receive anything from the Lord. You're not going to receive anything from the Lord. And you should be like, are you kidding me? I just read that my God's a good God, that my God gives and gives and gives, and he loves to lavish me. He just wakes up every morning and says, I got blessings to give you. But this verse says, this guy didn't get nothing, right? This guy didn't get nothing because he was like the way, well, I don't know, maybe he will, maybe he won't, maybe he won't, maybe he will, okay? And that's what religion says a lot of time. You know, listen, God, I just love God. And I want him. You know, I know he can, but I'm not sure if he wants to. I know God can bless me, but I'm not sure he wants to. I know God can get me out of this mess, but, you know, I'm not sure if he's going to want to do it today, all right? And you know what that is? I know this, but I don't know that. I know this, I don't know that. That's wavering, all right? And that's yucky religion, okay? That's almost persuaded. And we're supposed to be fully persuaded, all right? So this guy in verse 7 didn't receive because he didn't believe. He didn't believe the promises. All right? I don't know. That's what my Bible says, okay? Now, why? Everybody say why. Okay, why? Why? There's a breakdown in communication. What are you talking about, Pastor D? No, no, no. How many of you, when a little baby for the next 6-9 months, they just make noises? Wah, ooh, right? They're born and they don't speak a language. Wah, ooh, they're not speaking a language, right? I don't know. Yours didn't pop out of the womb saying, hey, 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 all right? They don't. They don't. And then one day, dad, dad. I know. They never say mama first. Dad, dad. Dad, dad. And you are over the moon. My kid said dad, dad. And you don't even care if he calls mama dad, dad, the dog dad, dad, the bottle dad, dad, the spoon dad, dad. You don't care. You are like, come on, raise your hand if that just thrilled you. Your kid said dad, dad. Shoo. Okay, now, why does that please you? Why does that send you over the moon? Why does that please you when you're like, oh, God, I just love it, okay? Okay, let me tell you why. Your kid, your son, is learning to speak your language, right? Instead of, do you have to go to the potty? What's going on here, right? Well, they say, no, they say dada. They are learning to speak your language. And it says, without faith, I know, I was going to leave you in a happy place. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. All righty? So we got a breakdown in communications, okay? When you speak wavering doubts, okay, you are speaking a language that God doesn't speak. When you speak and you're wavering, I don't know, you can, maybe you will, yesterday, you are speaking a language that God doesn't speak, and he doesn't understand. It's like that baby. Do they want a bottle? No, I don't know. Maybe they just want a pacifier, okay? You're speaking a language he doesn't understand, okay? So guys, my life and your life has to be with these conversations that only have to deal with grace and faith. What are you talking about, Pastor D? Oh, no, no, no. Okay, what is grace? Grace is everything that comes through Jesus. I didn't earn it. I didn't sweat for it, right? It just comes through Jesus. God's unmerited favor, God's ability. Whew, I just love it, okay? Why? It was a gift. I love gifts. I love gifts, okay? And we receive this gift by faith. Grace and faith, grace and faith. We receive it by faith, okay? And you know why? Because God doesn't speak any other language. That's what you sound like. Okay? So we need to build a life of faith on faith. We just need to build our life on faith, okay? And a life that's unwavering, that Jesus is the Christ, and that he has poured out and given me and continues to give me all the blessings that I need for life. I just need to build my life on that. And I want to tell you something. It's not hard. It's not hard. What is the proper, keyword, response if I give you a gift? Okay. What is the proper response when I give you something? Thank you. All right. Just thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. That is a key to the life of faith. It's where you start. Okay. Now, the only difference with the life of faith is you say thank you before you see it, okay? You say thank you before you see it, before you see the promises land in your lap, right? All right? Why? Because Jesus has already done and he has finished the work and he has given you grace. So I am simply going to say thank you for your grace, your favor, your ability to get me and pull me out of this mess. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. One more scripture. Hebrews 11:11. One more. Okay. Hebrews 11:11. This is about Sarah, Abraham's wife. Okay. And it says this: by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past age, because this is going to tell you why it happened, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She judged him faithful who had promised. Now we know, if you read your Bible, she didn't get it right the first time, right? The first time, what did she do? No. All right. Okay. So what did she have to do to get to that part? She had to be persuaded. Yeah, she had to be persuaded, okay? And then she had to get into agreement with her husband. And then they had to get in agreement to what God said, right? And then the power of God was present. Then they got it. Okay? Now, what is the agreement that we have to get into? That God is faithful to his word, to his promises. Okay? And the foundation, just start with, oh, I got a cramp in my toe because I'm wearing heels for the very first time in months. Jeez. I'm so sorry. God. Okay, let's pray. Hallelujah. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Father, I thank you for these people. They're your people, and you have given me the honor and the privilege to call them my people. I thank you for everybody that's listening online. Father, I thank you that you're going to do a work in their lives of what you promised. Amen. How about you say this? How about this one? I wrote that in big confession. He who promised is faithful. Amen. He who promised is faithful. And the next one is able. All right. And I am fully persuaded. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm not wavering. I'm not almost persuaded. I am fully persuaded. And my God is willing. My God is able. And I believe he who started a good thing will complete it in me. Therefore, I give thanks. Thank you, Father. I thank you, and I am fully persuaded. Father, I thank you that your promises are yes, amen. I thank you, Father, that what is given is mine, and I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okie dokie, I am tickled pink to be here. Have a wonderful super week. If you'd like to, because we walk in love and we do not judge people that may not be on your level of faith, I'm asking you to put your masks on to walk out. Because I have some people here, and I'm telling you, they've got some big symptoms going in their body. And it took all their faith to believe the promises working in their life. And they would ask you, could you just put your mask on and walk out? When you get out that door, okay? All right. And if you'd like to give your tithes and offerings, there are the glass jars there in a basket if you want to go out this way. Amen. If you want to talk, amen.